Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Psalm 81, we read a very interesting text. Let's read into the context of the verse we're going to look at. Our verse is going to be Psalm 81, verse 16, that speaks about honey out of the rock. But let's read into it. Begin with verse 11 of Psalm 81. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied them. Well, in this particular passage, what you see is the Lord brought Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they wouldn't hearken to his voice. And so he gave them up to their own lust and to their own counsels and missed out on all these blessings. And one of the blessings they missed out of is he said, I should have given them honey out of the rock. With honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee, he says. Well, in this particular text, we're going to take this the way that I heard a preacher take it one time, and I'm telling you, just thinking along the lines of that concept is really good. You see, the rock represents a hard thing in your life, and the honey represents something good that comes out of that hard thing. You see, honey ordinarily doesn't come out of a rock. That's an unusual expression. But we do encounter rocks in our life, hard things, and some of us have been through enough of those that we have seen honey that has come forth out of the rock. And so today we encourage you that if you've encountered a rock in your life, there's honey in it. Calvary was Jesus' rock, and the honey is our salvation. If he hadn't gone to that mountain and been crucified on that rock, we wouldn't have the honey that we enjoy in our salvation today. So notice from this text three simple truths. Notice, first of all, the unyielding substance. A rock is not something that yields to you. The unyielding substance. That rock won't yield to you because it's a rock. You can stub your toe on it. It's not going to move. It can fall on you. It can crush you. It may break you, but you're not going to break it. Why? It's unyielding. It's a rock, and you're made of flesh and bones. You see, there are adversaries, or let me say adversities, that you're going to face in your life. And those adversities are going to be unyielding. In other words, you can pray all you want to pray, and you can get all your friends to pray as much as they're going to pray, and nothing's going to change. Why? Because God isn't going to remove that trouble in your life. It's unyielding, like the thorn in Paul's flesh. When Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Lord if it were possible that the cup would be removed from him. Jesus Christ, you know, sought that opportunity to not have to be turned into our sin, to not have to die for our sins. But he yielded himself and said, "Not, of course, not my will, but thine be done." And that, let me tell you something, that rock was not moved. And the thorn in Paul's flesh did not go away. And sometimes the trouble in your life will not yield. It's going to be there. And you think, literally, you think as you're praying, as you get your friends praying, as you get, you know, social network contacts all over the world praying, that surely God is going to move that rock. But it's a rock. And it's not there to move. It's there, and it's not going to move. As a matter of fact, the more time you spend trying to break that rock, the more time you try to spend to remove that rock, is just the more time you're wasting, because that rock isn't going anywhere. You say, why would God send something like that? That's the way God is. It's the way God is. God knows some things. For instance, I've got friends, and they have children with disabilities. A very good friend has a son who's autistic. Another very good friend has a son who is cerebral palsy. They're both in their 40s. I mean, I'm not talking about my friends. I'm talking about these children. In other words, they've had this rock in their life for over 40 years. And I say rock in their life, you'll see by the end of this message that it's a good thing. But let me tell you, everybody in the world could have prayed for 40 years that both of those boys would have been healed, and nothing changed. Nothing changed. Why? It's a rock. It won't yield. No matter what you try, it's not going to change. People say, well, the reason it's not changed is because you don't have enough faith. No, the reason it doesn't change is that it's a rock and it's there for a different purpose. Certainly there are times when you have an illness. Certainly there are times when you have a disease that you pray and God heals you. And he does that for his glory. And you say, wow, you see, he did it in that case. Yeah, but it wasn't a rock. But when that thing comes in there as a rock, it's not going to change. It's unyielding. It is an unyielding substance. Listen, Paul was a man of faith. The reason that thorn in his flesh didn't leave had nothing to do with a lack of faith. It had to do with the purpose of God. And it didn't yield. And it wasn't going to yield. So remember this truth. When you encounter something in your life that is a rock, and certainly you've spent some time praying and some time analyzing your life to try to make the thing move, and it doesn't move, then you realize something. You're dealing with a rock and not something that was temporary. And when it's a rock and you finally figure out it's a rock, then there's no reason to keep praying about moving that rock, because it's not going to move. It is an unyielding substance. And that's a truth. Now there's another truth. And the truth is that there is an unexpected provision. There's an unyielding substance, that's a rock. But there is an unexpected provision. You see, the rock wasn't sent to crush you. The rock wasn't sent to destroy you. The rock wasn't sent to stop you. It isn't an obstacle. Now, when you first look at it, when you first deal with it, you're thinking, oh man, how am I going to make it in life? I've got this rock, whatever it may be. A health situation, some physical limitation, something that seems to be an obstruction in your life, an enemy perhaps. It's not an obstacle. It's hard, and it's unyielding. But what you'll come to realize is it's there for your good. It's not something bad. It seems to be bad. And without the honey, it would be bad. But this rock has honey in it. And because of that honey, this thing is not bad. It's actually good. You see, at such a time, the Lord will allow the rock to yield its honey. It doesn't yield its honey right at first. Sometimes the honey comes forth pretty quickly. Sometimes the Lord makes it wait a while before the honey comes forth. You say, why the difference? Because it has to do with you. When your heart is conditioned by the rock to be prepared for the honey that comes out of the rock, then the rock will yield. It's just like the water that came from the rock for Israel in the wilderness. That rock was there, and the Jews got thirsty. They went 3 days without the water. There was a period of time that elapsed. And then they all got upset with God, and Moses went to the Lord, and he said, just strike that rock, and that water will come forth. So there is a period of time where that rock is doing something in your life to prepare you for the honey that comes forth, just like the water that came from the rock for Israel in the wilderness. That honey will come out of that rock for you. And the shocking thing is this. You don't expect that much good to come out of that much bad, but it will. Johnny Erickson Tada is probably one of the most noted authors and speakers on honey out of the rock. I mean, I'm not sure that she speaks with this particular text and in this context, but I'm going to tell you, she certainly hit a rock in her life. What was she, a teenager, 17, 18 years old, when she became paralyzed, really as a quadriplegic? And I'll guarantee you, right at first, she had no idea that that thing was anything but a rock. She could not see the honey that was in that paralysis. But you know, over a period of time, there were things that God taught her, experiences that she went through that let her know, wait a minute. This thing isn't bad. It's hard. Rocks are hard. It's hard, but it's not bad. You see, her paralysis is a terrible rock. It takes, I don't know, people that come in to help, you know, several hours to prepare her for the day, as you can imagine. But then she goes to her office, or she goes to speak, or she goes to write. Listen, and that's where you see the breadth and the depth of her resulting ministry to others. I mean, to save people and to lost people. And the breadth and the depth of her resulting ministry to others is the sweetest honey imaginable, and could not have come forth in her life without that rock. Now, that's her testimony. I put it in a different way. She's written books. You can certainly read her books. She's recorded messages. You can certainly listen to what she has to say. But when she realized that paralysis became a platform to glorify God and to work for Him, her influence has gone into literally the hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people. And that never would have happened without the rock, the hard rock of paralysis in her life. And I'll tell you, she's had that for decades. And that rock didn't change. You know why? It's like we said in the first place. It's an unyielding substance. Nothing was going to change it. But the unexpected provision is the wonderful honey of her ministry that has come forth out of that rock. And she'll tell you now, that honey is so sweet that if it weren't for that rock, I wouldn't have this honey, and I wouldn't trade that rock. You see? It's an unexpected provision. So you want to keep that in mind. Rocks are hard, but the provision is sweet. Now, there's another truth about this honey out of the rock. Though the rock is an unyielding substance and is hard and difficult, the honey is an unexpected provision and it's very sweet. So listen. The third truth is this. Notice the unusual principle. The unusual principle. Listen, if you will quit fighting God over your rock, God will turn that bad situation around for good. Perhaps you're facing paralysis. Perhaps you're facing having gone through a divorce. Perhaps you're facing a business failure. Perhaps you're facing a wayward child. Perhaps you're facing a medical difficulty, a terminal illness, a disability, or any number of other rocks that come in your life. Perhaps a calamity in your reputation that's really not so, but it's there. You say, I have to fight for this thing. I've got to get this rock out of my life. It's like walking with a pebble in your shoe. I got to get this thing out of here. It's not going to go away. Not some of them. But just listen, if you will quit fighting God over this, God will turn that bad situation around for good. Listen, with promises like Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. With a promise like that, you know that God is working in all things. If all things work together for good, then you have to know that God is working in all things. That's why we are to give thanks for all things, and in everything give thanks. You say, how come? Because God sometimes has to bring something bad to bring forth something good. Calvary was tough. That was hard on God. It was hard on Jesus. But boy, the result has been good. Perhaps you're the caretaker for somebody that has a terrible illness. Perhaps for somebody that has Parkinson's. And that's a rock. That's become a rock in your life. And you're like, boy, I wish I could change this. Quit trying to change it. Look for the honey. You say, but I don't want to. I'm upset about it. I understand. But you have to remember, it's God who brought the rock. So quit fighting the rock. Because when you fight the rock, you're fighting God. Quit fighting the rock and listen, start looking for the honey. That rock was right there with Israel when they were in the wilderness. They had never even thought to consider that water would come forth from that rock till God showed it to them. And God has to show you the honey that's in that rock. But it's going to be hard to see it if you're mad at God over what you're dealing with. Listen, the rock is there, okay? And it's there for you. But then the honey is there. And it's also there for you. You say, Ben, this is a hard principle. It is. Rocks are hard things. I'll grant you that. Terribly hard things and sometimes terribly painful things. And they're not going to yield. But the honey is there. And the principle is, if you will look for the honey, if you'll talk to God about the honey, if you'll draw close to the Lord, it'll come forth. You see, the death of Lazarus, you remember Lazarus. Lazarus had a sister named Mary and a sister named Martha. You read about them in the Gospel of John. And you also read about them in Luke. You know, Mary is the one that sat at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is the one that got upset that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus because she wouldn't come and help Martha in the kitchen. Jesus was like, who needs to heat? The bread of life is here. What are you worrying about? All right, that Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, got sick. And Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus Christ, who wasn't there, to let him know that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus didn't come. He waited. And he waited so long that by the time he did show up at Mary and Martha's house, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So you have a period of time that elapses where Lazarus is so sick he needs to be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could have been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wasn't, because Jesus didn't heal him. On purpose, he didn't heal him. And then Lazarus was put behind a rock. He was put in a cave. He was buried. And when Jesus shows up and Martha presents herself to him, she's upset. If you'd been here, my brother had not died. And the Lord said he would rise again. She said, I know, he'll rise again at the last day. The Lord was going to show her something better than that. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's what he told her. And she went away and got Mary. Mary came and said, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. She wept. Jesus wept. They went to the tomb. And Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. Boy, I'm going to tell you, some honey came out of that rock. The death of Lazarus rocked Mary and Martha. But from his death came the honey of his resurrection. From his death came the honey of his testimony. I mean, in John chapter 12, in verses 10 and 11, listen to this. John chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They were trying to kill Jesus. They said, we want to put Lazarus also to death. Why? Because that by the reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lazarus didn't have that testimony. Not until he had gone through the rock. But once he'd gone behind that rock, once he'd gone through death and had resurrected, my goodness, he had a testimony. Honey came from the rock. You see? That was a tragic event in Mary's life. That was a tragic event in Martha's life. But in just 4 days, God changed everything around. Oh my, we have to be very careful when we get upset about something hard coming in our lives. Need to settle down and realize there's liable to be some honey here. I'll tell you, when we consider the unusual principle, consider this. Paul's imprisonment could have rocked his ministry. I mean, he was warned. I think the count in Acts is five times. But anyway, everywhere he goes, he's told, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get locked up. And he knew it. As a matter of fact, the testimony was so clear that in Acts chapter 21, verse 4, when they were in Tyre, there were certain disciples there. They tarried for 7 days. And those disciples said to Paul, listen, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. In other words, the Spirit of God, he said, you know, you're going to be bound. But he said, and the Spirit of God is the one that told him, don't go up to Jerusalem. You shouldn't go. And he went anyway. And he got put in prison, and he was in there for a long time. And Paul's imprisonment could have rocked his ministry. That could have been the end of it right there. But it wasn't. Because God, considering that rock, said, I'm going to bring some honey out of this thing. And he did. Instead of Paul's imprisonment rocking his ministry, the Lord God brought forth the honey of his prison epistles. Have you read those? Listen, if Paul hadn't been locked up and taken the time while he was there to request for the parchments from Timothy and then write down, or have others through dictation write down for him those words, we wouldn't have those epistles today. Oh, and I'm telling you, the honey of those prison epistles is wonderful. I'll tell you some other honey that came out of that rock. The souls saved in Caesar's household. Have you ever read Philippians chapter 4? In Philippians chapter 4, we read this. Paul is giving his salutation. He's signing out. And he says in Philippians 4:21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Watch it. Verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Paul appealed to Caesar in his imprisonment because, you know, the Jews were determined they were going to kill him. And so he had to take that awful long trip up to Italy, and he finally got to Rome. And while he was there, you know what he did? He led some people to Jesus Christ. And some of those he led to Jesus Christ, were they of Caesar's household? How likely do you suppose it would have been that Paul would have had an open door to Caesar's household if it hadn't been for God bringing forth honey out of that rock? Paul's imprisonment could have rocked his ministry, but for the honey of his prison epistles, but for the honey of the soul saved in Caesar's household, and but for the honey of one more thing, the resulting fearless, bold preaching of the brethren. Look again in Philippians, but this time in chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 14. Many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. So Paul's saying, I'm locked up. He says in verse 13, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So he is witnessing, and God is using his bondage to let everybody know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident but by bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's imprisonment yielded the honey of the fearless, bold preaching of the brethren. It really stirred them up. As a matter of fact, there were some guys that were being contentious, and they were preaching Christ too, but not sincerely. And you know what Paul said? I'm happy about that, because Christ is being preached. Now, none of that would have happened if it hadn't been for that honey that came out of that rock. And none of that would have happened if it hadn't been for that rock. And let me tell you something. That particular rock in Paul's life was his own doing. Do you understand? He went knowing that he was going to be bound in prison. And he went anyway. He went knowing that the Spirit of God told him he shouldn't go. And he went anyway. Sometimes the rock in your life is the result of your own doing, and now you're thinking in frustration, because I did something to bring this upon myself. There's no way that God can bring forth a blessing. There's no way that God can bring forth honey out of this rock. But that's not true. Thank God it's not true. The Lord surely can and surely will bring honey out of that rock if that rock contains that honey, and if you will not fight God or others about how you got into that situation with that rock in the first place. Now listen, if you live a full life, you're going to hit a rock in your life, at least one. In reality, more than one, many. You're going to hit a rock in your life. And you know what you're supposed to do when you hit a rock in your life? You are supposed to keep on going. Why? Because that rock is not meant to stop you. That's not what it's there for. It is not an obstacle. It is there to bless you, but it has to stop you in order to receive the blessing. You see, if it hadn't been for the rock, you would have walked right on by, but it comes there and it slows you down. It makes you consider that rock, and it makes you consider the God of that rock. And when you do, God has provided honey for you in that rock. And it's important to realize this. That honey cannot come forth by any other means than by the rock which contains it. You see, in the world, there's honey in that hive. You just go over there and let those bees make that honey. You reach over there and get it. But in the Christian life, oftentimes you'll find that honey in the rock. I pray today that the Lord has really encouraged you. If you're dealing with a rock in your life, really encouraged you to quit fighting against that rock, because it's not going to yield, and God won't let it yield. And that instead of looking at that rock, you start looking at the unexpected provision of the honey that's in it, and the God who provides that honey in it, and then apply this unusual principle in your life, and let that honey accomplish in your life exactly what God wants to do with it. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.